Live from the Ken and Valerie Baker Studio at WHYY, this is Studio 2.
On Thursday, June 25th, welcome, friends, on Into the Program. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Kevin McCrory, in for Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Today on the show, it's a fun one, Cherry.
Yes.
Do you remember Freedom?
I remember Freedom.
The game, Freedom. Just running around at night
with
your friends playing Freedom.
Yeah, right? Just
and
living
it's
life.
It's summer nights. You're having fun with your friends, and it just feels like the possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all a little nostalgic for that time.
Yeah.
So today on the show, we're doing this conversation that you and Avi had recently.
Yep.
With a great roundtable of guests. You guys had a blast talking about just like the throwbacks of summer and how maybe we can recreate that in the modern today era.
Yes, the pre-Wi-Fi summers, before the screens, before social media, before bills, when I was young, and we were just running free. Yeah.
And I have four kids at home, and like my wife and I are constantly talking about how can we recreate some of that magic for them, like
mm-hmm.
in this tech environment that we're all in right now.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, this was such an enjoyable conversation to listen to. And I think listeners today are going to get a real bang out of it too. And, you know, you can email in studio2@whyy.org with some of your ideas. And we got some parts of the program. We can mention that today too.
Yeah. I'd love that, because people want ideas about how to have a low tech summer, unstructured fun, being actually bored, because that was okay back in the day.
It was
being bored.
Yeah. From the point of view of the parents, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. So we'd love to hear your ideas of what it takes to have a tech free, you know, screen free, low tech summer. Studio2@whyy.org. And we have our trio of local news stories, as we always do. The big story today, that new housing reform bill that cleared Congress this week with wide support from both parties, only to be rejected by President Donald Trump. Well, it has a major local tie. The 21st Century Road to Housing Act, it would have been the first major piece of federal housing legislation in decades. It included a Pennsylvania program that helps homeowners and small landlords pay for repairs. That program offers grants or loans to help people deal with habitability and efficiency issues with affordable housing. It was called the Whole Homes Repair Program, and households that make less than 80% of the area median income, they qualify for grants, and small landlords with affordable housing units can access the loans. And the bill for the program was sponsored by progressive Democrat State Senator Nikhil Saval, and it became law in 2022. And Kevin, it was so popular, but limited, because it only had a certain amount of funding. But 18,000 people right now are on the waiting list. So making it a national program, it would be a pretty big deal, because there are 200,000 Pennsylvania homes with issues that could possibly benefit from the program. And I should mention that this major, you know, bill that was, you know, passed both houses of Congress, by the way, would have incentivized housing construction, restrict large institutional investors, a.k.a., you know, private equity, from buying family homes, among other efforts. And it was pretty much backed by many of our local lawmakers. I mean, Senator McCormick,
right.
John Fetterman, Andy Kim from New Jersey, Lisa Blunt Rochester from Delaware. So people were hailing this as a win. And it's been stalled by the president.
Right. So you have this massive housing bill, which at the end of the day is just trying to make housing more affordable. And this small part of it, which would help people make fixes on their existing homes.
And stay in their homes.
And the national legislation was modeled after, like you said, this bill from Nikhil Saval. And what was interesting watching that happen in the Pennsylvania legislature was this was a bill that had bipartisan support from urban Democrats, from rural Republicans, because everybody is facing
the
this
same
issue
problem
of old infrastructure and it being unaffordable to rehab. And here was a tool to do that. And then, you know, basically, John Fetterman takes Saval's legislation, makes it national. It passes in a bipartisan manner. And now, again, its fate is in limbo because President Trump is trying to tie its passage to his election reform bill.
Yeah.
And I've seen this play out so many times, too, where you have bipartisan consensus on 80% of something and something doesn't happen because there's divide on the other 20%.
And politics.
And when you try to tie too many things together, it kills it all. Yeah. But this looked like a rare example, and maybe it still will be, of Congress coming together and getting something done despite the political polarization in the country.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be watching this, of course. Story number two.
Well, drop everything, Cherry, because drop is back in the headlines.
Oh,
and
no.
People may know this city program. It's been causing controversy for decades. It's an acronym that stands for Deferred Retirement Option Plan. Mm-hmm. And the latest reporting from the Inquirer shows there's a political power couple in City Hall poised to take $750,000 in retirement benefits,
cha-ching,
even though they don't plan to stop working, right? That's kind of the controversy. So the couple in question is 4th District Councilmember Curtis Jones and his wife, City Representative Giselle Jones. And let me be clear, we should be clear, nothing here, Cherry, is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They're just taking advantage of a loophole that has raised eyebrows for years. So DROP, this program, starts in the 90s under Mayor Ed Rendell. The idea is it will help city government like incentivize people maybe who are making higher salaries to retire early, save some money. Also, you can plan better. They're going to say, we're going to retire in 4 years, and now you know how to have an exit strategy and find the replacement, all that. And they were selling it at the time as a cost-neutral thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it never was cost-neutral.
It's very expensive.
Expensive for the city. Mm-hmm. And then the controversy really came when city council members, elected officials, started using it and basically retiring one day and then getting reelected and then getting a new job, quote unquote, the next day.
Yeah.
So they get this big lump sum payment that's supposed to be for retirees, but they're still working. And this has caused a conversation for decades.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people were kind of shamed out of running again because they took it. And it's just been this conversation. And, you know, the good government groups like Committee of 70, they don't like this whole like fake out retirement thing.
And what's interesting here is that, you know, Councilmember Jones, when he ran in 2008, you know, he his first year in office, he said he wouldn't, you know, he was
so
against the whole DROP
there.
Program. Yeah. And now he's set to take it. He said that he did have some issues, some glaucoma issues.
Right.
And so that's why he was going to retire. But I'll say that just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And I think, you know, the DROP program and this flip-flop by Councilmember Jones, it's why so many people are sort of frustrated with city government. You know, they're talking about raising taxes, you know, the $1 a ride share. The mayor's trying to sell this kind of stuff and everything's getting more expensive. But then you have city leaders that are able to get hundreds of thousands of dollars in this way.
But Sherelle Parker, in this instance, is defending this program, as you would say, 10 toes down, saying this is a tool in the toolbox to be able to attract and retain employees.
But then on the other hand, you're trying
to city government, which obviously gets paid less.
And this is, again, why people want new leadership, because they feel like it's just not fair. Things are expensive. So moving on to our third story. Ben Franklin's library here in Philadelphia just got a whole lot steamier thanks to a donation of rare books about, get this, sex.
What?
Yes. And these books date back more than 300 years. So we're talking about old school sex advice, okay? The Library Company of Philadelphia was founded by Benjamin Franklin in 1731, before the United States was founded, okay? And it's celebrating this gift and it's turning heads. Apparently, a retired Harvard history professor donated 1,500 rare books about sexuality, some dating back to the 1600s. And before you get any ideas, the librarians say these books are not pornographic. They're historical books that show how people understood sex, their attitude about sexuality and relationships and reproductive health, and how it sort of evolved over the centuries. Among the collection is a widely popular 17th century book called Aristotle's Masterpiece. Aristotle didn't write this, okay? It was written by the Dr. Ruth of the time, and historians say some of the advice inside was questionable, but the manual was an underground hit for like 200 years. There's also an early book warning readers about the dangers of masturbation, plus books that today would be considered part of LGBTQ plus history.
Oh, so we're not like getting the sex diary of Abigail Adams here.
No. But it's like old school, like how to do it, like the reproductive health that people understood hundreds of years ago. So if you're looking for a page turner, you know, this might be one of Philadelphia's more unexpected library additions. You might want to check it out.
And it shines a spotlight on this Franklin Library,
yeah,
which is pretty cool, because Ben Franklin, in like the, even the pre-revolutionary days, was such a revolutionary figure, and he starts this library really with kind of a mission similar to like what Studio 2 does. He wants to get people together, yeah, have conversations, advance society by talking things out. And it's his idea, like, hey, if we all pool our book collections together and lend them out, we'll be able to have better conversations and influence society.
And have a more educated society. And this is a project. People don't realize Ben Franklin spent more time on the library than any other civic project. This was very important.
Pretty amazing. And it still stands today. And it sounds like there might be a deal for this library to join forces with Temple.
So
that's kind of like the interesting news hook in here, too.
And you could check out the sexy books. You know, keep it alive. So we'll be right back after this. We'll talk about low-tech summers. This is Studio 2. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Studio 2 here on WHYY. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Kevin McCrory in for Avi Wolfman-Aaron. All right, it's 1996. The Macarena is the undeniable song of the summer. There's no iPhones. There's no Instagram. TikTok is literally just the sound a clock makes. Remember that, Cherry?
Oh, yes, I do. The 90s summer aesthetic is trending, and for good reason. The lemonade stands, popsicles, water balloon fights, and parents just chilling on the porch. It's all so appealing with the rapid rise of tech. Something has gotten lost.
Yeah, the low-tech trend got us thinking about our own summers of decades past, the one-hit wonders that filled the airwaves, the games we played, the summertime snacks, all the fun that feels so nostalgic and good to indulge in.
So today on the show, it's a conversation Avi and I had with a roundtable of guests to talk about how a more unplugged summer and how to have a more unplugged summer and to share favorite pre-Wi-Fi memory. Stephanie Humphrey, host of Life in Tech with Tech Life Steph on WURD, joined us. So did Christopher Wink, publisher of Technically.
Avi and Cherry also talked with Mark Folletti. He's the owner of Latchkey Record Store in South Philly. He says information overload is the catalyst for our deep hunger for the good old days of summer.
We're all longing for a time when a few fewer things were coming at us. We had a few fewer channels to tune into, to listen to, and everything was felt a little more manageable. That's what we're missing.
I would agree.
Yeah. Stephanie, why do you think?
I think it's the state of the world. Even with all of the technology we have right now, with multiple streaming services and platforms and social media, I don't think that would completely explain this nostalgia trend. I think it's everything else going on. It's very heavy out there right now, and I think people are looking for an escape.
Yeah.
Counter take. Nostalgia is the oldest humanity product we've ever had. We've always gone through cycles. And so partly I just think millennials, as I am one of them, are getting older and they have purchasing power. So it's the greatest consumer product to have right now is sell older millennials the childhood that they once had.
Yeah.
So I partly think this is a bigger project than...
You think it's just all a big marketing ploy.
In part, yeah. It's cyclical. We've always had this. We always go through cycles of nostalgia, which I think is beautiful and fun.
Yeah.
But for me,
we don't
want to
be kids again. I mean, Mark, you're kind of in that business. Is this true?
I sure am. No, it's absolutely true. But what's so interesting is it's not people just getting things from their childhood. Record players are not millennial, right? And yet my customers are often like Gen Z and millennial folks getting into these even older formats. So it's almost like nostalgia for nostalgia. It's meta.
Oh, yeah, my God.
But it's also people want it for their kids. It's like they want what they had. You know what I mean? Like it's even, not just they want it back. They want it for their kids too.
And I think, you know, we can get into, this is not the show to get into all the studies about how social media and technology affects young brains, but it does. I think we're all aware of that. So I think wanting to help your young person develop in a more healthy way you know, a motivation for all of this.
All right. So before we get started, we have some like categories to structure this whole conversation, but I'm just curious just to get a sense of where y'all are coming into this conversation. Like if I say, what was your summer like growing up? Is there a place that takes you to, a memory that takes you to? Chris, you're nodding along. Like I say, yeah, what was summer like for Chris,
Chris
growing up?
Chris is looking wistfully someplace.
Yeah, yeah, you're like looking off.
Did I tear up? I grew up in a beautiful rural county, Sussex County, in New Jersey, Northwest New Jersey. Okay. For those of you who don't know the much broader region, and they should, the good people of Sussex and Warren County in New Jersey referred as Northwest New Jersey. That's rural and pastoral, state parks, Delaware Water Gap. I used to tube down a river. I was hiking down trails. I was playing sandlot baseball.
All right.
Very outdoors. A lot of baseball card trading, bicycles.
Did you ever put a baseball card in your bicycle spokes to make it sound like a motorcycle?
100%.
Yeah.
So my mid-90s was a lot of baseball cards and spokes, but a lot of judgment about what kids were putting which baseball cards were.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah. Steph, what do you think?
So I am from a small borough outside of the city of Pittsburgh called Rankin, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it was a very, very small town experience, if you will. So very much community focused. You know, you leave your house on a Saturday morning on your bike and you don't come back until, you know, the streetlights come on. Mm. And between that time, you've just had all of these different adventures with your friends. And you never know what happens. And that was the best part of it, is you never knew what to expect.
All right, Mark, close us out here.
Yeah, I grew up in the burbs in Iowa and Texas. And so
Iowa and Texas.
I know.
Wow. Been,
you
okay,
know,
okay, okay.
But
we
the
traveling.
Burbs were the burbs. So wherever you were, the main thing was always thinking about getting out, which means bikes and then cars.
Yeah.
Right. So that was, I always associate summer with one of those two methods of transportation, whichever one I could get my hands on.
I love it. Okay, so we all talked about this a little bit ahead of time, and so we're going to start with our categories. Mm-hmm. And our very first category is Song of the Summer. And Steph Humphrey, here's the song that you picked. Adam, hit it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I wanna rock right now. I'm my bass and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone. Because I get stupid, I mean outrageous.
Okay.
Listen, this is a karaoke, but when you put some hip hop on, you never know.
There's no right or wrong answer. But that was the right answer.
Right.
What did we just hear, by the way?
That was It Takes Two by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. Rest in peace, Rob Bass,
recently passed away.
But that song was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was, and it wasn't even like the annoying earworm that was inescapable. You wanted to hear it. Every time it came on, you got just as excited as the last time you heard it. And it was just ubiquitous.
Absolutely.
At one point.
And everybody
and
literally
it.
Just started dancing.
You just started dancing. You couldn't have led, just like the studio. We all started, you know, it was just that song. And it was really, I think 87 maybe, somewhere around there, 86, 87 time frame. But no, just a great, happy, upbeat party song.
88,
you know, that was appropriate for all
age groups
and you just had fun and you just felt happy when it came on.
Yeah, I felt happy just now.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Well, who's up next? We got Mark's song next. All right, Adam, hit Mark's song. All right. That is February 1993 that came out. Are You Gonna Go My Way by Lenny Kravitz.
Love
so I picked
Lenny
this because
Kravitz.
Of a very specific thing we've lost, which is getting a song stuck in our heads, mm-hmm. whether we liked it or not. If you were around in the summer
just
of
wait
93,
for mine, by the way.
Yeah, you couldn't escape that song. I liked it, then I hated it, then I kind of liked it again, then I forgot about it, but still, whenever I hear it, it takes me back to
Absolutely.
My first summer with a car and driving around, and it was always on 94.5 The Edge, and I couldn't escape it. So whether or not you like it, it was something that was a part of summer.
Thank you for plugging terrestrial radio. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's right. And Lenny Kravitz was hot right there.
Yeah,
I just
not
put that
wrong.
Out
Kravitz
there.
Kravitz is still hot.
I know. I follow him on Instagram. I just want to put
Lenny
that out
Kravitz
there.
Lenny Kravitz is props.
Like,
he is still hot. If anyway. He's listening, I'll let you know.
All right, Steph. Okay.
Have
you seen him lately?
The panel has concluded that Lenny Kravitz is attractive. That's good to establish. Okay.
All right. Sorry about that.
Chris Wink. We're gonna play Chris Wink's song. Adam, can you play Chris's song, please?
I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Skipping rocks on the river by the railroad.
Very nice.
Oh my God, Chris might actually be tearing up right now.
Aww,
all right, beautiful.
Love that.
That was a great song.
Tim McGraw. An incredible string of albums in the mid-90s. He has like three great, incredible albums, and that's something like that. Comes out in like 97, something like that. I'm like 10 years old. This would have been on a boombox, like literally playing Sandlot Baseball. Would have been cranking Tim McGraw. Dude. Probably also on radio, though, actually.
And it has a nostalgia feel to it, just the lyrics of this song.
And then we talked about layers of nostalgia, and then Taylor Swift, one of her first songs, was about hearing a Tim McGraw song and being nostalgic about it. That's true. You know,
Taylor and I have a lot in common,
obviously. But Tim McGraw, he does hit that chord for so many people.
For us country music listeners, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I love it. Am I next?
Yeah, you're up.
All right. And this is my song of the summer. Take a listen. Adam, hit it. This is TLC, Waterfalls, came out in 1994. This TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool album was one of my favorite albums. It seemed like they dropped out of nowhere, and that was in my baggy shorts era.
Your cross colors.
You know, everybody was trying to put something over their eye, left eye or whatever.
Philadelphia.
So shout out to TLC, and Creep, by the way, was another song.
Man.
And so I Creep.
The visuals for that video were stunning.
And that was something that I really love to do, watch a lot of music videos and dance with my friends. And so TLC was.
Above No Scrubs.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen.
Oh, just asking.
Hanging
just asking.
Out the passenger side.
Yeah, that's I'm just saying, Above No Scrubs. That's what we're saying.
That's
okay.
What we're saying. That's what we're
saying. Just making sure we're establishing that. Okay.
And so Avi has his song of the summer now.
All right, Adam, hit mine.
Tell me why. Avi is a boy band fan.
Incredible.
I am shocked. I am shocked. Avi picked a boy band.
It's a great moment.
This song. It totally is. I just wouldn't have thought.
Summer of 1999. This song. It was in the Lenny Kravitz mold of undeniable, unescapable song. I have a specific memory of being at a summer camp and people playing this song over the playing it on a radio and then putting it up to the microphone that takes it to the loudspeaker.
Okay,
so that it was blasted all over the camp.
That's an old school blast.
Yes, the old school blast, pre Bluetooth, right? That's how you got. And so I just have I thought of that memory, and there was just a specific summer.
Oh,
I think the song was released in maybe April or May, so it sort of chart peaked in the summer of 99. And it was just...
So it was like your summer camp's reveille, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the song makes no sense.
Yeah, absolutely no sense. I don't even know. What is
that way?
I don't even know that way. But we don't need to know the way.
You don't need to know. Because
you just sang the words.
You still want to sing it. Let me read some of our listener comments. Mary on YouTube says, in the summer in the 60s, we went on tours of plants like Lay's potato chips and Wonder Bread. We played outside until dark. We went to the pool. Michael says... playing under the fire hydrant, street being blocked off, playing sports, roller skating, skateboarding, bike riding, barbecues. A great list there from Michael. So category number two in our throwback summer, this is called Summer Flex. So if you had this, ... you were really cool. We're starting with Mark Folletti. What was the Summer Flex?
Not just a Walkman or a Discman, but the Sony Sport Walkman. Ooh. Yellow.
The yellow one.
Any kid with the yellow.
You could drop that sucker and it would do nothing. It kept going.
Yellow one.
That was the one. Any kid who had that was like walking around like they owned the block.
Steph, let's go with you for a Summer Flex. If you had this, you were cool.
I had to do something tech, a pager or a Sidekick.
Yes.
Because flipping that screen open on that side, I didn't have one because we just couldn't afford them. So I was not cool, clearly. But seeing people flip that screen up on that Sidekick was such a flex.
That was a rush.
I was so jealous. And they had a full keyboard and just all day long back and forth with other people who had Sidekicks. But
you were looking at it.
I was with envy.
And the whole premise of the show is that we want to get rid of these things from our lives.
I know.
But back then, it was the coolest thing to have.
It was very much the coolest thing to have.
Chris, Summer Flex.
You're making me flip a little bit. I think I'll go. I have memories of the bicycle. Like, who got the new in-season bike the sharp colors, that is a vivid memory. Like, there was talk about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bike move.
Did you ever have said bike?
I think no. I feel like I was very much a hand-me-down. So I think that's why I have a very real, right, like, visualization
you had,
of,
you,
like,
you had bike envy.
Oh, Anthony Carolio got one.
Anthony,
wherever you are.
What's Anthony doing now?
Everybody always knows the first and last name of the person in the neighborhood who had the thing that they wanted.
Absolutely.
Did anyone, so what was your bike situation? Because Mark, you said you were big, the bikes was a big thing. What was your bike situation?
Yeah, just like a standard Huffy, you know, probably mm-hmm. with the handlebars that used to have grips, but they're worn all the way down. Yeah. And, you know, just ran that sucker into the ground.
See, the same you.
Yeah, I had a beautiful Huffy 10-speed. It was yellow. It had the foam.
Speed.
Yeah.
Wait, you were Adam Carolla or whatever.
That,
you
were Anthony Carolla.
Anthony Carolla. No. I get it right. Yeah, my 10-speed was the best. And I treated it like a car. I took that thing everywhere. It had a lot of miles on it.
You were in the driveway on Sunday cleaning it off.
Everything. Making sure the chain was lubricated properly and all that good stuff.
I remember washing my bike. My father was definitely washing his car.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely washed
you got to take care of your
bike. That's good. You got to love on that bike. So, Avi, I know you have a flex.
Mine is really not time specific. If you had a significant other, you were cool, girlfriend or boyfriend.
Interesting.
For the summer. Yeah, especially for the summer.
A summer, especially for the summer.
I feel
bay.
I got my girlfriend.
Like you with the new bike. And like you with the phone. I did not have one. But
for the people who did, you were like, they flexed. Yeah.
I also considered putting frosted tips. This is the boy band thing.
Oh, my goodness.
This is what I would have looked like.
Oh, my goodness.
You shouldn't want to lean too much into that category yet. You're not ready to.
And I'm glad I never did it.
I decided against it.
But I did think for a time that was because you had to convince. You couldn't do it yourself. You had to convince basically a parent or a guardian to do it. Like, I didn't know anyone who could do it to another kid, the frosted tips. So, you know, you had to have some pull.
Yeah. Well, my summer flex was the summer that everybody got scooters.
Yes.
Like, not bikes. We went on. I had a 3-speed, so I was like, that was whack.
Those handlebars gave it away. That was a dead giveaway. If you had 3-speed handlebars,
3-speed bike, why did I have that corny bike? So I was very excited. You had a 10-speed. I had a 3. Okay?
Man.
Exercise.
3-speed.
And it was like hard going up the hill in that thing. Oh, my God. It was so heavy. But when I got that scooter, and it was like hot pink.
Was it a Razor scooter?
I don't remember the brand.
Was a lot newer. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But it was like, and I'm tall, so you know, I jacked the handlebars all the way up.
What age are we talking about?
I was probably like 13, 12, okay. 12.
That feels like old for the scooter experience. Yeah.
My cousins, all of us had scooters, right, and we were zipping around the neighborhood.
Okay. Nice.
Maybe I was like 11, 12. Nice. Yes. 11, 12.
Maybe I was like 25.
Yeah. Yeah, we were like rolling with the scooters, and it was fun. By the way, next on our list, the cure for boredom. This is the stuff we would get into, okay, when we were really, really, really bored and there was a lot of time to kill for most summers.
Yes.
And so, Avi, we're going to start with you.
Yeah. I mean, look, mine is against the spirit of the exercise, but I'm just being honest.
Okay.
I'm just being honest. The cure for boredom was video games.
Okay.
I mean, that with people, if you were bored, you played video games, often for way too long.
Yeah.
And I can tell you about the specific video games, Madden, GoldenEye, MLB Baseball. Those were the big hits. But yeah, if you were super bored, I know we're supposed to be getting outside, but I'm just being honest. That's what was going
on. You're a man of integrity.
Lisa played a lot of Mike Tyson.
Everyone here is talking, just having this fantasy about we were outside all the time, and I'm just keeping it real. There was a lot of video games going on.
A lot of video games. So Chris, what was your...
Well, you guys said hide and seek. I have a lot of memories of big manhunt games. I remember if I was trying to annoy my parents or something for a need, it was like, go find kids. And then at night, it became manhunt. Daytime, there was a lot of sports. I did a lot of time, like my parents would send me off to go to the basketball court. We had a basketball court in town. Spent a lot of time in basketball courts, and then night became manhunt.
Yeah.
So manhunt's like capture the flag. What is that like? I don't know that one.
Good push on me. Yeah, it was essentially capture the flag, but we would be sprawling. It would sprawl because then mostly some kids would just go home at some point. But there was capture the flag component, but you could get captured and put on a base.
Yeah.
Maybe we were making this up. Now that you're really making, you're really pushing me here on these roles.
It sounds familiar. I just wasn't, I don't think I ever played specifically.
Totally just made it up. I don't think I made, but that sounds fun though.
Was there lore? Like, was there mythology involved?
But we all gotta remember.
No lore. There's absolutely no lore.
In our childhood, you just make stuff up. Like, and people used to just change the rules. You were like, oh, that, y'all play tag that way. We play tag like this.
I'm gonna fold so fast on these rules. Because you're exactly right. Like, I think there were two flags essentially you got, but I
and then it gets squishy in the middle.
Yeah.
It gets squishy in
the middle.
That's a great
point.
So, yeah. So, Steph, what was your cure to boredom?
So, you know, definitely not video games, because we were, anytime we looked
at the TV,
at all bored, my mother would say, go outside.
Yeah.
Like, we literally would get kicked out of the house during, especially in the summertime. Like, you could not just sit around the house.
Couldn't do it.
Lounging and luxuriating.
No. Get out.
And doing anything. Yes, get out and go find something to do. But we used to play this game. It was called Four Corners. Mm. And you had to have a sidewalk that had the, you know, squares. Mm-hmm.
Great game.
Together with four, and you got a basketball, and you know, just kind of hit it towards everybody, hit it towards everybody else, and you tried to get somebody to miss hitting the ball to the next square.
Can I tell you something that's going to make you feel really good?
Okay.
I go to a lot of playgrounds these days. I have a little kid. Kids still play this game.
They still play
this game.
Yay!
Is very popular. See? Still. Foursquare is still happening.
Mm-hmm. So we would just meet up at the, there was like a little four corner square thing right in the middle of the projects. Let's just keep it a beam.
Yeah.
and we would just meet right there, and everybody would take their turns, and we would play four corners when we got bored.
I love that. Yeah. Well, we did a lot of, I like to dance. Mm. And so we had a little like boom box, and we would have like dance offs. And me and my friends used to, I thought I was Salt and Pepper. I thought I was, you know, TLC. I thought I was different groups, and we would literally dance. I thought I was Janet Jackson.
Who won the dance battles?
Depends. It depends. It depends on the day. But like a lot of dancing, a lot of, if we were in the house because it was too hot or something like that, music videos and dancing. Out in the street, dance, a lot of dancing. So,
Mark Folletti, take us home. If you were bored, what was the cure?
Yeah, I would run over. I had a single mom, only kid, so small place. Not, you know, but the one advantage of the Burbs was there was always a kid with a pool. And that kid was Steve Long, and we would
Steve first and last.
Exactly. You're so right.
Anthony Carollo, right?
Yeah.
And Steve Long.
Yeah. Steve Long. Shout out to Steve. Yeah. We would just,
if you want to do nostalgia, names have to come up.
That's right.
I'm not even sure he had to be there. We would just climb his fence and, you know.
I wish I had a Steve Long in my
neighborhood. Listen, Andy Matsko was our pool guy. Andy Matsko had the pool in our neighborhood. Yep.
And somewhere they're doing a show right now, and these kids were calling to my pool.
Yes, that's good. That's good. By the way, EP Kev says, Manhunt is one person hides and everyone tries to find them.
Well, that makes sense with name, so thank you. That sounds vaguely familiar. I think we did like group. You had to find like a group.
That makes sense.
That makes it even more fun.
More sense.
And then somebody going to laugh and give it all away. So that makes it.
Thanks for bailing me out in the comments.
Right.
I didn't make it up. That's good. So fact checked.
Jonathan on YouTube. This is a good one. Jonathan on YouTube says, we were feral.
Exactly. Yes.
We were stealing wood from construction sites.
Right.
I have no idea what purpose
that
served.
I hope you didn't get a splinter on that.
I hope you didn't get a splinter or a summons. Thank you, Jonathan. And our next category is best summer snacks. Cherry, you're going to start us off.
Okay, so my favorite summer snacks, we had a ice cream truck guy named Alley Cat in our neighborhood. And I used to get a sour pickle.
That's not questionable at all.
Wait. Can we just
pause
on the
name? That's not sketchy at all.
I don't know. Like, Alley Cat was holed up, and we were all lined up to go get cheap, you know, junk food from Alley Cat. So that was his name.
Did he call himself Alley Cat?
That's what everybody was like, hey, Alley Cat.
No, you called him it. Did he call himself Alley?
Yeah, that was his nickname. Okay. His name, and if I don't remember if he had a tag, you know, a name tag, but his name was Alley Cat.
So far we got Steve Long. We've got, not Adam Carollo.
Anthony
Carollo and Alley Cat. Just
Alley Cat.
We cast a character.
Alley Cat was our, you know, ice cream truck guy. I would get a sour pickle. I would get a bag of Fritos and a grape soda.
That
Rock
like
Creek grape soda, by the way.
Yes.
Which was
DMV.
The best DMV grape soda. So there you go. That was my snack.
That's like a balanced meal right there.
I know.
Right.
Right.
She's getting all her macros in there.
Yeah, the whole pyramid.
We're worried about the kids today.
I had
when you were ingesting purple dye number four.
You turned out fine.
Turned out just fine.
All right, Chris, what was your best summer snack?
I lived on the battlegrounds of New York and Philadelphia Metro, so we had both Italian ice and water ice. I distinctly remember not being able to know what the difference was. And little, it was just two different kinds of shops. So I very much remember water ice, Italian ice being a battle, big part of. Also, Jersey corn
flavor?
Was a big thing.
Jersey corn's good.
Jersey corn was a big thing. I think I did a classic cherry. It was simpler times then.
Yeah, they didn't have that many flavors.
It was cherry. It was a simpler time.
There you go. All right, Mark, you got to give us a snack now.
I mean, unfortunately, I'm going to continue the frozen trend. Mm. Do y'all remember Flavor Ice?
Yes.
Capital F, capital V, capital
yes,
I.
Yes,
we didn't. You know, I don't know if the flavors were cherry, but they were red and blue.
No, they
and
were
green.
Colors.
Yeah,
that they were colors. The they weren't flavors. They were like red.
Yeah, blue.
Blue. Oh, yeah.
You're
in your freezer.
Yeah, all over. Terrifying. Yeah.
And the plastic would rip the roof of your mouth up all the time.
Yeah, a little jagged.
But you loved it.
You know what? That injury was worth it. That was part of the job.
Absolutely.
That was being a kid in the summer. Yeah.
Steph, summer snack.
So, you know, like Cherry, we had a guy.
Alley Cat. We traveled.
Alley Cat was working.
No, his name was Connie, actually. And he had this awesome truck, and he painted it like stripes, all these different colorful stripes. And he had this great bell that he would ring. So you knew literally the whole neighborhood would come running when they heard Connie. And he did ICs, his own brand of ICs. But you also had to get a bag of sunflower seeds.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And you ate those sunflower seeds and you spit those seeds everywhere you could, you know, wherever. But the sunflower seeds went with, I guess it was the salty sweet maybe.
Yes.
But you had to get sunflower seeds and a Chico stick.
I remember those. They had a nutty little
flavor. They were like orange. And they were just this like tube type thing with a little bit of peanut butter in the inside.
Yeah.
They were very crunchy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get your icy ball is what we call them. and then you got your sunflower seeds and your Chico stick.
Mm-hmm. I wish I'd thought of sunflower seeds. That's great because the thing about sunflower seeds is, they tasted okay. They were fine. But it was also an activity.
It was. No, literally.
And you could mess with people.
You had to concentrate on cracking them inside your mouth. Taking the seed out inside your mouth and spitting the shell out, all in one, it all had to happen inside your mouth.
Yeah. Absolutely, but yeah. For you, sometimes was it just the straight out. Salt flavor? Or did you go because they ended up doing more? They had ranch. They had
salty
barbecue.
Just the salty.
You could put them in vinegar too. Some people like that.
No,
you know.
I don't know that much.
Oh my god,
that's a that's
why,
next
why
level.
Why would one do that?
I didn't necessarily do it, but people would do that. You put it in a baggie.
Alley Cat did that.
For a fee.
I will never forget Alley Cat.
And you were never going to live it down.
He was a little rough looking, too.
Right, so I will. Very predictably, I'm doing a frozen treat as well. There was a corner store at the end of our block called TJ's. That my favorite popsicle there was, I guess I had kind of refined taste now that I think about it.
Oh,
because
look at you.
It was a bar. It was a popsicle bar, and it was artificially flavored, but they also would just sort of throw in a few chunks of fruit. So there was a banana one and there was a coconut one.
Yeah.
And that was my go-to.
Bougie popsicle.
That's good.
I had very refined taste as a child.
TJ's was actually known for having a large, just like a tub of pickled eggs on the counter.
Oh my god.
Yes. It was the same amount of eggs from about 1995 to 2003. No one ever bought an egg.
They last forever.
No, those are the same eggs.
Look, in the Armageddon, those eggs are going to still be there.
That's
you can eat them 100 years from now. So there you go.
TJ's didn't make it, sadly, to the Armageddon, but...
TJ is somewhere with the eggs.
All right, now we got rules for summer. Can you tell us about this one?
Like curfews. I get to tell my rule first. You came home when the streetlights came home.
That was the
other good rule was I could always bring a friend. I was the only girl among all my male cousins and two brothers, so I could always have a girlfriend with me wherever. I love that.
Nice.
The bad rule was if you go outside, you stay outside. There was no coming in. You're going to either be inside
there
or
in and
outside.
Yeah,
there's
that's
no
true.
In
no
and
in
out.
Out.
All right,
bad
so
rule.
We're doing a sort of best worst rules. Chris, yeah. Do you have one for us?
The rule that came to my mind when you said this was I vividly remember many years of the reading challenge to get Pizza
yes.
Hut points.
That was a
absolutely.
Good one.
That was a
good.
Very big staple.
Yeah. That was a
oh,
good
yes.
one.
You got your Pizza Hut.
Oh, I got my Pizza Hut.
Yes. That was a good challenge in the summer for kids. That was such a good challenge.
That's shout out to the Free Library has a version of that for kids this summer, actually.
It does?
Literacy
yep.
is
a great
never a bad
challenge.
Thing?
Absolutely.
Yep.
No.
Okay,
yep.
Good to know. Steph, what, a good rule, bad rule?
Absolutely, streetlights and our fire hall had a siren that would go off at 10 p.m. for
oh,
the curfew. Yeah, it was a curfew siren. So as soon as you heard that siren, you
go
know,
home.
You had about 5 minutes to from wherever you were to get back into the house. So it was street lights when I was younger, and then it became the curfew siren at 10
curfew
p.m.
siren.
Yeah. And it was just one blast. Of the horn at 10 p.m. and you knew it was 10
sounds
o'clock.
Of
and it was
summer.
Time.
Listen,
it's
10
p.m.
Do
you know where your
kids
are?
All right.
They better be home. So
mine is going to be a little confusing because of something I said earlier. But one of our, I think the best rule actually we ever had as kids was we were not allowed to have video games. So every video game I ever played, and I said we played a lot of them, was at a friend's house.
Right.
So, but at least we were interacting with, I made a lot of friendships over those video games. I have friends to this day made over video games, and it's because
they had GoldenEye.
Wow.
I didn't really like to do that much.
Well, Madden in this case, but yes, Madden 2004. But I'm very thankful my parents did not allow me to have a video game system in the house because I do think ultimately I would have wasted so much of my life just playing it. And in the end, video games became something I bonded with people over.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And would you like, Mark?
I'll go with a bad rule to close this out. So it wasn't exactly said to me for the best example I have of it, but the rule was rub some dirt on it.
Yes.
Which is to say,
break this down.
When something bad, you know, you got an injury, you just get up, you rub some dirt on it. So here's what I mean.
Not medical advice.
Acknowledge your pain.
So here's how this went down for me. So like I was playing around, I was trying to leap some brick wall. I didn't make it. Leg cut really bad. My aunt brings me home. My mom's like, what's wrong with his leg? She's like, he's fine. Mom's like, you have to mow the yard. And I'm like, this leg really hurts. And then about 2 weeks later, it's looking terrible. I mean,
oh my
all the wrong
gosh.
Colors. So mom finally takes me to the doctor. And he's like, good news. We won't have to take the leg.
Oh God.
But it
yikes.
Was close.
Yeah. Yikes.
Oh, my
and,
God.
I know exactly what you're talking
oh my
about.
Goodness.
And it was just one of those things where you could see my mom's realization that perhaps that
right.
was a little too much of rubbing some dirt
yes,
on it.
Absolutely.
So,
wow.
yeah.
I've literally never heard that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But you mowed that
I'm
lawn.
Running
you
to the
tough stuff. Cookie over
right.
there, Mark. And so we want to bring this to the present as we close out the show. And we're going to build the ideal low-tech summer day in Philly, and everybody's got their own suggestion. We have about 2 minutes, so everybody gets like 30 seconds, okay? Chris, you start us off.
Block party. You got to hit a block party somewhere
absolutely.
In beautiful Philadelphia. Water balloon tosses. Get out there with the neighbors.
Absolutely.
All right, that's a great one.
Mark,
yeah.
Live music. Find someplace small, big, whatever. Go see somebody play an instrument. It's always a good time.
Absolutely.
Right.
Steph.
Rent a kayak at Bartram Gardens. Best way to see the city. Beautiful views. Hang out on the water for a little bit.
Right. Mine's kind of similar to Chris's. I was going to say, put a cone on the end of the street. We don't even need a license from the city, Chris. We don't need that.
Yeah, y'all just pull the cones
and
out.
But the kiddie pool or the water table are both out there. Some sort of water features that gets everybody in the community out and we're having a good time.
Yeah, and mine is do a picnic in your favorite park and play card games. You know what I mean? Under the trees. I love it, love it, love it. And, you know, you can even go get some hoagies from Wawa and make that part of your picnic. So that's my low-tech summer.
Such a fun conversation, Jerry. You guys had a blast with
we
that
we absolutely did. You heard me laughing a lot.
Thanks to our guest, Mark Folletti of Latchkey Records, WURD's Steph Humphrey, and technically publisher, Chris Wink.
Yes, and Studio 2 is produced by Debbie Builder, Hazel May Bryan, and Paige Murray Bessler. Mike Schiffler is our visual producer. Al Banks and Adam Staniszewski engineered today's show. Joan Isabella is our audio general manager. And we're closing out, of course, on some 90s
Ricky Martin!
Hits. Yes, from Studio 2 here at WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm executive producer Kevin McCory. Thank you for joining us with The Crazy Life on Studio 2.
Oh, yeah.
She's in, new sensations, new kicks.